I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Banks it in!
KC Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it! Did not do him like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. KC Johnson joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, KC. How are you?
Morning, KC.
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
You know, I got to tell you, I was saying to David this morning, KC, that as I watched you interviewing Lauri Markkanen yesterday after the game and, of course, doing great work on NBC Sports Chicago as a Bulls reporter, obviously, he seemed, I don't know, like he seemed almost slightly embarrassed or slightly kind of squeamish about. I felt it was awkward, just his response to being 0-for-7 from 3-point land and trying to once again say that, well, it's going to come around. You know, it's almost like I'm not sure he looked like he believed what he was saying.
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, he does not like doing media interviews. So I compare him a lot to Kirk Heinrich. He's one of those guys you love to shoot the bull with, but once the recorders and the lights comes on, it goes south pretty quickly. so he does not like being interviewed. And then also we're asking him the same thing every game.
Yeah,
it's gotten to the point where it's just painful now. I jokingly put on Twitter with the link to my story, you know, I really, really did not want to write about Lauri Markkanen again. But when you go scoreless in the second half and there are multiple questions about how he's being used in Jim Boylan's offense, it's impossible to avoid. So it's a mess right now. But I agree with you, Molly. It was awkward being there. Trust me.
So KC, I mean, this is a difficult question, but you know, when you look at his inability to kind of get to that next level this season, and all it becomes redundant. And if this were football, we ask the question: is it Mitch or is it Matt Nagy? And when it comes to the Bulls, I do start to wonder: is it Lauri Markkanen or is it Jim Boylan's inability to find ways to get the most out of his talent with an offensive scheme that makes sense?
Yeah, no, it's a totally legitimate question. That was a new twist on the angle to my story that I wrote today for the website. And I think with any of these equations, Nagy, Trubisky, Markkanen, Boylan, I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think there's some elements to both. I mean, clearly Lauri is broken right now. I mean, that is indisputable. Now, how do you fix him? I think, you know, given his past and the fact that he has shown he can produce at a high level, you have to have some hope that he can be salvaged. And I think a big part of it is getting him on the move. He is not – how he currently is playing, he is not good as a stationary three-point shooter. He's just not. He's lost confidence. I think, you know, his ankle is affecting him a little bit more, I think, more mentally than physically right now. And when he was playing his best, you know, Thad Young said it. That was the lead of my story. This is how we used to prepare for the Pacers. He's a multifaceted scorer who plays well when he's on the move. Well, he hasn't been on the move much lately. You know, 7 of his 11 shots last night were from 3-point range. Yes, he missed some open ones. There's no doubt about that. That's on him. But I just think you need to get him on the move more. You need to get him attacking the rim more. I don't think post-ups are the answer. I think cuts are to the basket. I think getting to the rim are. He used to do that fade, one-legged drag kind of move where he, you know, banking in off the backboard. I haven't seen that much lately. So there's got to be something because Lauri Markkanen, he may not be who the Bulls thought he could be, but he's not this bad. That I can tell you that unequivocally. He's not this bad.
And I get that. I mean, I think that we've seen him play significantly better. But when he's not making that shot, don't you have to tell him not to take it? At some point, doesn't the coach – I know everybody hates the idea that you have a mid-range game, but wouldn't that – maybe if he could get that going, open up the outside shot? It just seems like doing the same thing over and over again is just mindless.
Well, mid-range shots are mostly prohibited in this offense, so that therein lies the rub. I mean, you know, and how many times have we seen this season Lowry drive to the basket, and albeit with one or two defenders right there at the rim, he doesn't try to power through the contact, and he kicks it out to a wide-open Chris Dunn in the corner for a corner three-pointer. Well, Chris Dunn is open in the corner for a reason, because he can't shoot three-pointers now. I mean, he made three yesterday. He had a very nice game, so credit to Chris for yesterday. But the percentages are the percentages. He's being left wide open for a reason. So, you know, and that was the thing. You know, Thad Young said, you know, when we prepare for the Pacers, we used to prepare for his mid-range game. Well, that's pretty much out now. So, you know, I just – it's head-scratching. It's mystifying. And it's a huge, huge problem for the Bulls, obviously. And that's another reason why – You have to keep writing it, and you have to keep asking about it, because it's clear. I mean, you traded Jimmy Butler for this guy. I mean, he's a centerpiece of your rebuilding effort, and he's regressing this season. There's no other way to put it.
So, Casey, after the game, you tweet out, Bucks are headed to Paris to play Hornets. Bulls are headed to draft lottery. And it's one thing for us to say that, and I think it's all very accurate and certainly true. But I wonder, at what point do the players start to play out the string? But does this team, you know, for all the talk about spirit and soul, at what point do they start to just, you know, mentally check out because of the inevitability and the reality that they just can't beat a good team?
Yeah, no, fair question. It's something you're obviously constantly monitoring as a beat guy and around every day. What I would say is this: if you watch the games, they do still compete hard, and I know that's a cliche. And that dynamic got a little bit of a boost a couple weeks ago when Rick Carlisle called them, you know, the hardest playing team in the NBA. But, you know, I'm watching that stuff carefully, and, you know, I'm at every game. And if you watch last night's game, they're still competing very, very hard. They're just not talented enough. Now, I do think you also watch post-game reactions, and I do think there is a little bit of a numbness setting into the losing. I mean, when you lose this much, you know, I'm not sure if it hurts, you know, everybody as painfully as it should every night. And the other thing you have to monitor, you do have to calculate a little bit right now, is they are missing some obviously pretty critical pieces with Wendell Carter Jr. Obviously, Otto's been out all season, and now Daniel on top of that. So I do think there's a little bit of a feeling that, you know, when they get some of those guys back, maybe this will change a little bit. But yeah, it's a fair question, and, you know, I thought you're actually going to go a different direction with the question. I thought you were going to ask, when do you move from even this pipe dream of the playoffs to player development, straight-up player development, mm-hmm. and maybe starting Kobe White, things like that. I don't think they're there yet, but that's going to come into play at some point this season, too, and that's none of that was expected this season, obviously.
When we look at Zach LaVine, and again, what is it now, 11 games, 20-plus points, and he had been on an unbelievable tear there. I thought he played well yesterday again. And, you know, you're just facing a guy in Antetokounmpo. You just can't stop that guy. I mean, it was ridiculous, Casey. When they went to ISO, the guy just scored every time he tried to. And then at the end of the game, he feeds a dunk. So there's very little you're going to be able to do about that. But is Zach, I mean, how close is he to an all-star berth? How much will they take into consideration the game being in Chicago? Do you think he's going to make it?
Well, that's a tough one. Yeah. I'm going to go with what I've been consistently saying. I think he's going to be on the outside looking in initially. I think if there's an injury replacement, he's in for sure, which ties into your second question. I do think the hometown bump is legitimate. And let me preface all this by saying it's not like it would be like a charity gift. I mean,
he's playing well.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly placed himself into the conversation for consideration, for strong consideration. He's in the all-star conversation, simple as that. If he gets in, nobody should be surprised. He's deserved it. I just, when you start doing the numbers, the reserve spots fill up, start filling up pretty quickly. And I do think the Bulls record will hurt him. As far as last night, I actually watched that pretty closely. I have a nice seat in Milwaukee, in my new role. And, he was really frustrated last night because that is a really, really good defensive team. And he was attacking the cup early and they just wall off the interior. There were three guys every time he drove. He thought he was getting some contact. He wasn't getting the call. Then he got into a position where he was starting to hit some threes. He had those 10 quick points at the end of the first quarter. And then at the end of the game, he literally was just like looking around going like, who am I going to pass to? and he just was taking everything by himself. And that he is shouldering such an offensive burden for this team. That alone should put him in all-star consideration. You know, people talk about him being an empty calorie scorer. I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing him carrying one of the worst offenses in the league and doing it on a nightly basis when defenses are game planning to stop him. And he's just having a marvelous offensive season from my estimation.
Casey, we're still a couple of weeks away from the trade deadline. You start to hear rumors. You saw speculation yesterday about Derrick Rose being shopped to the Lakers and the Sixers. When it comes to the Bulls, injuries are going to complicate matters. But what would be the realistic expectation about how active they will be in making a move or trying to make a move?
Well, I think the first thing that should be emphasized is obviously when you're having as underwhelming of a season as they're having, nobody is untouchable. You have to obviously listen to every offer. That includes offers for Zach LaVine. That includes offers for Lauri Markkanen. Do I think either of those players will be traded? No, but you have to listen. I think as far as realistic, David, I personally think there's a very good chance Thad Young and or Denzel Valentine will be moved. Obviously, neither of those are needle movers. You know, Denzel is completely, does not have a home here. It's obvious. It's a Jim Boylan thing. He just does not play him, does not. You know, he plays 10 deep, so you can't play everybody. I understand that. And Denzel's just not one of them. So you gotta try to get what you can for him. He's a restricted free agent. You're going to lose him for nothing this summer. Try to get, the second-round pick, try to get something for him. Thad Young, the interest in the Clippers is real. They also have their eyes on other targets. So maybe they'll land a bigger fish. But if Thad Young is, offered the right deal, I think you move him, not because he hasn't been effective for the Bulls, because he has been, because it would force you to pay Lauri Markkanen more. And that would be a good thing for the future of your franchise. So those are where the bulk of my attention is on Thad and Denzel. But like I said, if you're in the Bulls situation, you have to listen to everything coming your way.
There's no shame in losing to a team that's better than you. And obviously the Bucks are as good as any team in the East probably will end up proving that. Having said that, the numbers at the end of that game were bizarre. I mean, the volume of shots that the Bulls had compared to them, just going through the numbers, they even had fewer turnovers. Now they were out rebounded, but it was just crazy. Some of the shots that didn't go down in that game.
Yeah. The number of shots was reflective of the Bucks' turnovers, and that's what the Bulls do. They turn teams over. They lead the league in turnovers for us. So that was a reflection of that. The number that jumped out to me was 48 three-point attempts.
Yeah.
That tied the franchise record. And Jim very eloquently talked about that in his opening comment post-game. He said that was absolutely our game plan. He said we studied the six times, and that's amazing, the Bucks only have six losses. We studied the six times that the Bucks lost. And in those losses, the opponents averaged 43-point attempts and 17.5 makes. So he said we wanted to get at least 43-point attempts on the board and obviously try to make 17. So that was the game plan.
You need guys who can hit him, though.
Well, didn't play Denzel Valentine. I've seen him hit a three here and there.
Yeah. Actually, let's have a little bit more fun with that because I put this in my story. So the Bulls made 14. If you make 17.5, that's 3.5 more, so that's 10.5 points. So they lost by 13. So you're still
that's so beautiful.
The math was a little bit off, but no, that was the game plan and to launch threes and we'll go from there.
All righty, Casey. Thanks, buddy. Great catching
up.
Thanks,
Casey.
Take care, guys. See you.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.